that are just mind-boggling because we took the time to pray about it. You know, that makes a difference. Amen. All right. All right. Well, we have a powerful speaker, a powerful word of God that's coming. It's going to turn your life over in a very, very positive way. So, Tom, would you come?
Yes.
Teacher?
Yes.
Okay. Get it right.
Yes. Huh? Do you love me now? Thank you, Dan. Hallelujah. Better? Thank you. Wow. So, Dan, I forgot to tell Willie, and that was me because I unplugged it, and then... Okay. In love, right, maybe? Oh, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord. Man, you know, we come together, Father, and it's Mother's Day, and it's all these things that are going on. But I believe right now, Lord, by your Spirit, you have an exact word for this moment in time that you want to share to every single one of us, Father. Lord, as we go through this day, as we are part of this day, Lord, let us be mindful that this is a day that you have made, and we shall be rejoiced and be glad in it, Lord God. And let's not, as so much has been spoken about, not missing our moment, but not missing the time, Lord Jesus, that we are in right now, Father God. I thank you for bringing clarity of vision, Lord God, and revealing to us the beauty of your people working together, Father, in your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Last week, I just want to give Jeremy Asp, I was on the webpage. I just want to praise Jeremy, just give him some, man, with the website and everything. If you have missed the last 3 weeks and the last sermons, I went back and Mary Jacobson had a tremendous word about our book, Pastor Jake, about catching it. I was just grabbing a hold of that stuff, and man, was it ministering to me. I said, Lord Jesus, we have something that is happening right now that is so powerful. So I go to the website, go to the podcast, and you can listen to them. Jeremy's doing a fantastic job on there, keeping it up to date. Also on the kids camp coming up, he's done a fantastic job on that too. So just talking with families and stuff and about the kids, that's coming up on the 24th through the 27th already, and June is just around the corner. It's happening fast. So anyway, we've been working on the prophetic words, and I want to share a little bit about what's going on back there and then what's going on in here in terms of the assignment and the things that God has laid this on this church to do and helping us identify our part. And what I'm realizing more and more is what Heidi Baker said is that we need each other. She is in tremendous ministry overseas, and she's got thousands of church. But she has recognized what we call the ecclesia, but with the body of Christ, everybody functioning in their purpose. And she says, we need each other. Now, if Heidi Baker is saying we need each other, and she's out there, she's got 2,000 some churches, maybe even more, correct me if I'm wrong, in Mozambique. She's a mighty woman of God, but she is so passionate about God's people and working together. And she recognizes and the value and the need of every part in the body. And Lindell Ballinger gave us a word in 2010, the senior, about what was going on for this day. So I want to share a little bit about it and then just try to help us walk through some of the things that are going on, I believe, right now in the Spirit. So some of the young men and women God has been equipping you for this day, young fathers and mothers, sons and daughters to young fathers and mothers, and just like you have given birth to sons and daughters in the natural, you are about to give birth to sons and daughters in the Spirit at an unprecedented rate. There is momentum that has begun in these meetings that God and has said he is preparing a people so that they will not lose the momentum. We have to be able to contain the momentum so that it's just not a sudden poof of wind. The wineskin changes to contain the new wine. The building is changing to contain the new presence, the new atmosphere, and the new assignment. And Mary was sharing a few weeks ago talking about something completely new. Something completely new, that God was bringing a newness of life. And that looks different. You know, that's something that is different, but God is doing and he's producing something in us so that we can contain the next move of God. And that's a process. That's a process that we all go through so that it affects our container in our life. And Lindell was talking about that, the new presence, the new atmosphere. He said, this is the most serious meeting that I've ever been in this church because it's about destiny. It's about the call on this church. It's about the assignment. And it said, hold fast your confidence. The enemy has tried to shake some of us in our confidence, and he couldn't do it because your affections weren't set on the things of the world. They were set on him. As I was looking at this church, it's amazing that one of the gifts of an apostle, say apostle, is that I see gifts and callings. Lord, you are assembling. This weekend is about identifying the building material because it's about fit. It's about to be fitted together like never before. It's not going to take a long time either. It's about expansion, identifying the building material. You must be able to identify the building material. What he said about the children, there are so many gifts and callings in these children. And in this last year, we've been starting a new children's church program based upon the Game Changers program we went through 2 years ago, which was also a type of the shift that we did, was focusing on our identity. Who are you? So right now, my wife is back there talking about David. David and Goliath. David knew, and he was anointed to be king when he was a very young man. Because he knew his calling, because he knew, and as Mary was talking about, he was a worshiper and he had a heart for God. He knew who he was. He was not intimidated by the enemy, right? He wasn't intimidated. He was secure. So what are we doing back there? We are speaking identity into every single one of your kids, so that we could help identify the building material. Do you know your kids? Do you know the person sitting next to you? Because that is the building material that you're working with. That wife, your wife next to you, is part of you. Somebody, it's good. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Good morning. All right. You don't have to smile. I hope it's good. My Dan Ricks told me, he said, you know, God said, do you want to pick out your wife or do you want me to? God did, and praise God, God did. Because he knew what you needed. He knew what was a part of you. So could I test you a little bit this morning? Can I test you? I'm going to read you a word, and you tell me who this is. Are we able to identify each other? Okay? Are you ready? I'm going to edit out the names. Lord, I thank you for your amazing love for her. I saw you taking people by the hand, people who were apart, and you were taking them by the hand and putting their hands together. You are restoring them. You are bringing them together. You are bringing their hands to Jesus' hands, and you are bringing their hands to his hands. You already pray powerful prayers. And when you pray, God silences everything else to listen to the very things that you are praying. You are going to see a lot of people saved. You are going to see a lot of people changed because of the way that you love them. It's a big word, but unconditional. It means that no matter what people do, no matter what people say, no matter, just because they are who they are, you love them for who they are, for the way that God created them. That love is a love that wins the world. Thank you, Lord, for the way she's going to pray prophetic prayers over people. She's going to bring people to a place of restoration and healing. Who is that? What? It's one of the kids. Sorry. Who is it, Bethany? Who? Is that Abigail? Okay, so did you catch that? So, it says that she will be a restorer, right? She's going to bring restoration and healing. She's going to bring people together. So when something's going on, and she's a prayer warrior, right? So can we begin to use that right now? Can we begin to use that building material to help connect people together? Are you identifying, can I identify with Andy? Is that important? Not really. Yeah, it is very important. Because we're building, whether we like it or not, we're building together. We are the material, right? All of us here are the material that God's working for building, and we need to be able to identify each other. Your kids, you need to know your kids. You need to know who they are. You say, what they are. They're a humanoid. Sometimes I wonder what they are. No, they're fantastic, amazing children. But we need to identify the building material. And how does that fit together? Should we try another one? Abigail. Now this is another child from back there. Let's see if you guys know. Getting her training wheels off this summer. A story of this girl's story of her life is a miracle. Anointed in music, dance, singing, instruments, to be a worshiper. She is anointed to tell the truth. The truth is in her. She says who is in her heart. She says it in your mind. She has a great gift in her, a big word called ambassador. Ambassador of hope, to bring hope to the nations. She is going to make up songs, write songs in your presence. You sing songs over her at the night. You have anointed her as a dreamer to dream the dreams of God. Wherever she goes, people will come together and be restored. Who is she? Does it matter? Who is it? Hope? No. Marky. That's right. That is Marky. Can we use that? I think we could use that right now. You could begin to activate that gift. What's Dwayne's gift? What's Dwayne? Does anybody know? It's really hard to activate and work with people when you don't know them. I know Dwayne on the outside, but do I know the calling and gifts? Do we know Jake's? Do we know Joe's? I want to tell you something. In our society today, one of the biggest problems with the next generation is connectedness. They're not connected. You would think with all the social media and all the things in life, they would be more connected, more into each other than ever before. But they are at least, it is said back in 10 years ago that people had at least 5 people they could trust in and have a relationship with to deal with their problems. You know how many people today people trust in where they share and they get their problems settled with? How the average is? Zero. You got 0 friends. You got 0 people that you talk to, that you connect with, that you identify with, that they know your gifts and callings. They know who you are in Christ. In the world. I'm not saying in this church, I'm just saying in the world. So they're not able to connect with who they are. They don't know. And some of us don't even know that about ourselves. So we're searching that out. But it's about identifying the building material. It's about, we're talking about the ecclesia, but the big part of the ecclesia, the apostles, prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, is to help identify the building material so we know how to put this stuff together to give you the power to fulfill that which God has called you to do, because I know Joe's not going to be happy unless he's doing his assignment, unless he's fulfilling the call of God on life. He has designed, he is created for a purpose. Every single one of us has been created, right? Anybody here been created? Or are you just a Big Bang Theory? You just exploded. No, you're not. You have a purpose. As Mary was sharing in Psalms 139, when David said that he was made before I was even formed, we're talking about Mother's Day, in my mother's womb, God knew me. He had written my days out. He had written it out in a book. And Mary was talking about reading that book. How do we know what that book's, what's in that book? Oh, it's so powerful. Go back. Check it out. Read your book. Is it important? Because let me tell you something, everything else we do, there's only one thing that has eternal value, and that's everything that God builds. Everything we build without the Lord doesn't last. Come on, does it last? I want to be a part of something that lasts. So I'm grabbing a hold of these words. Now this person is here. Can I read this person's word? Think it'd be right. I got so many, man. I've been. Because when I do ministry, I don't want to identify with the person's outward issues. I want to deal with who they are in Christ, and I want to speak to that. I want to call that person up. As an apostolic church, we're looking to people, and we're trying to call them up. We're saying, hey, this is who you are. This is what God has in your life. This is what you are. And God gives people, right, those things who have, as Lindell Ballinger, he's got a gift for identifying gifts and callings in people. And God sends apostles and prophets out to help identify gifts and callings in people, to help lay a foundation so we could put the building material together, right? Like Moses, you said, Lord, teach me to number my days. Lord says, I have been numbering them and I have been multiplying them. You are about to see a multiplication of everything you have touched and poured into. The fruit you have seen outside of here is about to be seen in this region, in this city, like never before. I felt like the Lord was quoting things back to you. The Holy Spirit said to you, me and Jake are better together. You are not just going to be a friend. I might have gave that away. You are not just going to be a friend. You're going to be a father like never before. People haven't been able to differentiate Jake the friend and Jake the apostle the leader. I gave it away. I didn't edit it out. The shift is about the region, the people and the nations, but most seriously, mostly it's about what he is doing in you, because you have to go there first in order for everything else to follow. The momentum and of the miraculous that will follow will go wherever you go. Lord, right now, I thank you for crazy faith. Man, and you like it, the Lord says. He has crazy faith, and I like it. So, when you're starting to work, who's a great person to team up with? Huh? Is that true? Yeah, Pastor Jake. It just said right here, whatever he's doing, it says, you will go there first and everyone else will follow. Why is that? We just learned about the ecclesia. The apostle and the prophet lay the foundation. So we always think up here, but no, he was making it clear. That is the foundation. You need to identify who and what and where needs to come together to make this happen. You need to identify the assignment in the region. You need to be able to identify the building material. What if you don't? What if you go somewhere and you don't know the material? How do you work? What do you do? It's confusing. It's chaotic. It's out of order. Right? Now, God chooses those people, and he gives authority to those people, and he puts them in an assignment to do that. It is crazy to work. So if I'm building a work, and I'm going to step on and do something, I'm going to grab those who in the world, what would you do? You would grab what? A contractor? You'd grab a designer? You would grab those who understand all the pieces that you need? Well, those are the apostles and the prophets. They're able to identify all those gifts and callings. They're able to speak into you, speak heaven. And what we do as pastors is we get a hold of those and we say, hey, this is who you are. And then we work with them, because you know what? When you get a prophetic word, sometimes you don't agree with that. Sometimes you think, oh, that's not me. And it begins to rub on you the wrong way. And we got to get rid of those things that are old and dead. As the Bible says above, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Above, all things are new. Amen? So if I don't identify, what happens? I get no reward. I get nothing from Jake. I get nothing from Mary. I get nothing from Dan and Joan. I get nothing from Dwayne. If I don't identify, you can't fit it together. It doesn't work, right? So the biggest thing that the enemy tries to come in to do is steal prophetic words. It's to steal identity of the church. Now, one thing about this church is we have a tremendous ally and a brother in the Lord named Dave Wagner. We are pouring out the seams in this building of prophetic words. You should not know what this church is about. We shouldn't. It's all around you. Look at. You go walk around right now if you have to. Just look at the prophetic words that have been spoken over this house. God has identified the assignment of this house and what it is we're supposed to do. And he's also come in and gave us all prophetic words to help us identify who we are. And then we have the apostles to come and say, "How this is how it works together." So, for example, Peter McHugh talked 2.5 years ago, The Shift. Anybody remember The Shift? He talked about familiarity. He said, when we shift, And God is one thing I want to share. God's constant, his building as a constant is his love for us. Okay? The one thing that should never change in our relationship is our love for one another. That is sacred. Okay? But the methodology, the things that change a lot is our methods. The way we do things change. God always changes. There's always things changing. But the thing that never changes is our love for one another, our relationship. And I always know Linda. Me and Linda, we've been through a lot together. But our relationship is sacred. And when I walk by Linda without giving her a hug, she lets me know. But that is the foundation. Remember, the center is the love. Everything else, what we do, how we do it, all that stuff, negotiable, it'll change. How worship goes, what happens, it's okay. But that can never change. That's sacred. So we'll stop that if our relationship is, we stop what we're talking about, make our relationship right, and then let's work on. Let's keep on going. Amen? So the familiar. Peter McHugh said, when the shift happened, the hardest thing was that people were familiar, or the people he knew the longest had a harder time changing, okay? So the example I want to give is my friend Jacob, Jacob Jacobson, okay? I've known Jacob for basically forever. So when we had the school of ministry, the school of supernatural, we're talking about Ecclesia Apostolic. This man, Femi, the apostle Femi, came in and he began to say, hey, Jacob, you're a prophet. And when he said Jacob is a prophet, something leaped on the inside of me. And I looked at Jacob differently, and I saw that part of him, and I go, oh, you know what? Jacob is a prophet. But you see, I've known Jacob for a long time, and I've been looking at Jacob not as a prophet. I haven't. And because I have not been looking at Jacob as a prophet, guess what? I don't get the reward. What's the reward of receiving a prophet in the name of a prophet? What's the reward? What does the prophet get? He sees the kingdom. He sees what God's doing in the spirit. So when I received that from Jacob, and Jacob was up on there playing the keyboard. Can we do reenactments? So Jacob was up on the keyboard. I can't play it like Jacob. But Jacob was on the keyboard, and he started playing about restoration. And it was ministering to the people that were ministering to us. Because he had stepped into his identity, his prophetic word. And Jacob was up here, and I was up there, and I was like, man, Jacob, I want to see what you see. Sing what you see to me. Jacob, sing what you see. And I was just, because I was calling it out of him. I say, come on, man, I want to see what you see. And he was up here, and all of a sudden he goes like this. He goes, oh, man. And then I felt it. Even that's what he said. He said, oh, man, and boom, my spirit jumped, and I almost began to weep. Because immediately I felt what he felt. I didn't see exactly what he said, but I knew he was onto something. And he began to pray. I said, man, people are to come through those doors. They're going to feel the love of God. And it was, I was just like, yes. Is that exciting? Your kids have a prophetic word on their lives. And they're going to be out there, and they're going to be people out there hurting. Abigail's a connector of people, and she has powerful prayers. And there are people that are separate that she's going to grab their hands, and she's going to unite them in power. And they're going to be doing the ministry, and you're going to watch it. And when you receive her that way, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get that reward. She's going to show us how to mend relationships. She's going to show us how to restore relationships. You're going to take that building material and you're going to connect it with it because you know there's a need. You're going to identify it and you say, hey, that's absolutely what we need here. That's the job of the church, is to help everybody identify who they are and release them out into ministry. That's what we have on remember, these are mission statements, is that we reach the lost, restore the broken, relate to our community, resource the gospel worldwide, release sons and daughters into destiny. Come on. That's our assignment. That's community church and apostolic resource center. But we have to identify each other first, because right now we're working together to fulfill that which God has called us to do. People come in, send out another. But do you see people that way? Do you see what God sees in Michaela? Do you? Because the problem is we become so familiar with each other, we begin to see them differently. Jesus had this problem when he went to his hometown. People saw him as a carpenter. People saw him as the son of Mary, right? This is just a carpenter. And because of that, they were unable. The Bible says Jesus was unable to do great miracles. Why? Because they did not recognize and see who he really was and value that. They missed out on the whole thing because they didn't see. And as Mary was sharing, as Jake was sharing the last couple of weeks about identifying and seeing and talking about our books and seeing and reading it, do I know the passion when the worship, when these are ministers up here, these are prophetic voices up here. You're prophets. Do you see yourselves as a prophet? Do you take the responsibility as a prophet of seeking the Lord and hearing the Lord and administering the word of the Lord? Because that's who you are when you're up here singing, or when you're up here ministering, or when you go out there in the world. You're representing a kingdom. Right? That's the ecclesia. Every one of us have a part of it. If you're with me, say amen. All right, I got a few. I can do that. I can keep going. Matthew 10. It says, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. Why? Because you're representing what? His kingdom, the ecclesia. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me is the one who sent me. That's God. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will what? Receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if everyone who gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly, I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Come on. Real fellowship is when we know the person standing next to you. You know who they are. You know their identity. And you know how to live with them according to who they are because of how they're living with you. You guys are having that connection. You see them for how God sees them. And that's the unity we're looking for. Donald Trump... And then all that stuff's going to come out. But Donald Trump had a meeting. They had this school shooting, and he gathered everybody together. He said, okay, there's a problem here. We need to fix the problem. That's the ecclesia. There is a problem in our city. There is an enemy in our city. What's the problem? We need to come together. We need to identify the material. We need to know what we need here to deal with it. If we don't, we just allow it. So Trump gathered everybody together, and he said, listen, what is the problem that's going on in here? So he brought a guy in. I got to find where I wrote this. But here it is. He goes into schools, and he talked about this. He says, listen, it's not just a mental health issue. Okay? It's not just about drugs and this and that. What we're having a problem here is kids are isolated, they're alone, they're not connected. They're by themselves. That's the biggest problem. They have nobody. And you could be in the midst right here in this church and feel all alone. Loneliness. You're lonely, you're lonely. You could have 1,000 friends on Facebook and feel so alone. I have 10,000 friends on Facebook and I feel alone because I'm not connecting. I'm not being seen. So this is what he said. He said, listen, this is the key. We must create a culture of connectedness. Is that a word, connectedness? A culture where a classmate becomes a friend. Come on. Where we become friends. School shooting has come from disconnectedness. The focus must not just be on unity. Because if you focus too much on, or if you focus too much on diversity, you create division. You got this here, you got this here, you got this here, you got this here, you got division, okay? So you're focusing on diversity, but then you have division. If you focus too much on unity, you create compromise, okay? Well, whatever we got to do to be unified, I don't care, just do it, just be unified. And then you create compromise. But if you focus on relativeness, okay? Say relativeness. How we can relate to one another, then you celebrate diversity and you see the unity take place. So when we celebrate relativeness, there is a common chord that's in all of us right here, right now. There is a common chord. And the biggest thing the enemy tries to do is keep that cord from being connected to each and every one of us. Okay? Doesn't want you to have it. I don't want you to connect with me, you know? I don't want Joseph and Tom to connect. Because if Joseph, is it Joseph, right? Milo? I'm sorry. Why did I say Joseph? Oh, there's another black guy that comes here. That's Joseph.
Milo.
Milo. Sorry. Sorry, Josh. But Milo, there's something that doesn't want us to connect, okay? Now, we can visit. We can say, how are you doing? But what's Milo all about? What's Milo doing here? What's God have for Milo? My mission, and Jake and in this house, our mission is to find out what this guy's about and to connect with him. And we're a resource center. That means the resources needed to advance the kingdom God's bringing here. We got people coming from all around the world coming to here. Now, it doesn't look like much, but God ordained it. God spoke it to this place. So when you come here, I'm not just looking for that. We get a little bit intense. We get a little bit intense because we want to hear your prophetic word. So when people come in here and they sit and we just want to go, hey, and we start prophesying over them, this is not normal church, because we want to know your identity. Because when I know your identity, I know where I can connect with you. I can begin to identify places where the enemy has put lies into you. He says, you're no good, you're dirt, you're dunk, you're not worth anything. You say, no, that's not what God thinks about you. You are wonderful, you are beautiful. Before you were even born, God had an assignment that you would reach the mountaintops for his glory, that you would climb over, that you would rise up and eagle's wings and soar, because that's your design. That's how you're made. That's pretty exciting. That's the truth. That's fun. It's not about functionality. Well, how can we do this together and this together? It's about identity. And when you find that, and when you find who you are, when these kids begin to exercise who they are and step into that, come on, what do you want as a mother for your kids? What would you want for your mother with your kids? What do you really want for them? I remember my dad. He got up, and you know what? College and all the expenses and the things that this world that tries to draw, you try to prepare your kids for everything. And my dad got up one time, and he provide, because you know what? As a dad, you want to provide. As a mother, you guys want to work together so your kids have everything they need. And my dad got up. And this lady, an aunt, had donated money so that we could have a little college fund, or we could have something when we graduate we could go to. And my dad got up and he said, you know what, God has a plan for my kids, and he's going to take care of my kids. It's our job as parents to find that assignment. Because the God is he's the provider for every single one of my kids. When your kids are down and drought, I'm not here to pray and modify behavior. I'm here to say, what do you believe about yourself? What is causing you to believe that negative thought? Because it's not true. This is who you are. This is your calling. You feel strong in this area because God has anointed you to go to the nations and to send out. That's part of who you are. It's burning inside of you. That's because that's what you want to do. And this is the place where you need to be. This is the place where you need to get connected and then go through the process so that those things can be refined, that you could have that vessel to contain it and go out. And we get caught up in the process. That's why you need relationship with Linda, so that can I hold your hand, or just is that weird? I need relationship with Linda, so when Tom is down, I have an intercessor, I have a prophet who's going to speak heaven into my life, into my family, and says, this is your assignment. I need that. And when I know I need that, I rejoice because I know I have it. Pastor Jake, when I'm talking about business, I said, Jake, I'm feeling this way. What do you think? I go to him, and he begins to pray, and this is what I love about Jake. He's probably going to pray harder than I am about that situation. The guy's going to lay it down. He's going to lay it down for you. You go to him and say, man, I don't know him. Man, he comes to me. He came with me word the other day. He said, Tom, you need to do this. An hour later, a guy called me confirming exactly what he said. I go, whoo! I just kind of got chills. I said, praise God. Why? Because we have a team. We have an apostolic team that has been assembled together, a resource center that is going to reach this nation. When you reach this area and everything, God's putting it together. And all we have to do is recognize what God's doing. Come on. It's so important. It's vital because we need that. We're being built together in that area. Amen. Oh, look at all these pages, Mary. What am I going to do? I don't know. I guess. Happy Mother's Day. I am passionate about your kids. I am so passionate about your kids. A prophetic word that I was given was that I would see the treasures, hidden treasures. And when I look back there, I see so much hidden treasures. As Ballinger said about your kids, and if someone could go get Danny, do you want to? It's fine. You don't have to rush. I can talk for another 20 minutes. These guys are on it. They're ready. They're hungry. What? I heard somebody laugh. Jen. Okay, good. God uses people. When Peter entered Cornelius, you remember Peter and Cornelius? God sent Peter to Cornelius. All right? God uses people to administer his work on the earth. Cornelius was a faithful man in God, but God uses people and he works through them. So when Peter went to Cornelius' house, it wasn't a popular thing to do because it was unlawful. Right? It was a prejudice of the day that Jews did not speak with Gentiles. But God had given Peter dreams and visions. God has given us dreams and visions for Thief River Falls, Minnesota. Come on. Is it popular? Are we always popular? I don't know. Is it always with the flow of what the world would say we need to be doing to prophesy? Probably not. But it's a dream and a vision, a thing that God has sent. So when we went out, when Peter went out to Cornelius' house and he began to minister to Cornelius, Cornelius bowed down to Peter because what? He recognized the man of God. And he was about to receive the reward when you do that. When you see God's people and recognize. So he recognized him. He said, hey, I'm just a man. Don't bow at me. And he began to minister. The Spirit of the Lord came in like a flood and in power and in might. And it transformed the people. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it transformed the area. Woo! Yeah. That's one of them. So we got Mother's Day today. You guys are a blessing. What I encourage every single one of us to do is to get your prophetic words. Identify each other's prophetic words. If you have not gotten a prophetic word, we'll record them and we'll get them to you so that we can begin to identify who you are and we can talk about that. But that is the structure of building things together. Look at these wonderful kids. So, Danny. Look at Danny. Man. Woo! Did you want to share something? Jen wanted to share something real quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want me to take?
Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter. Yeah, I could. Maybe.
Hold on. What are you doing?
As I was thinking about Mother's Day, I was just thinking, you know, I've been working a lot with the children and what a blessing they are and how what we've done with them and beginning to really know who they are and their identity. And motherhood is very important, and it's a very rewarding and valuable thing to do. I mean, we sacrifice, we do a lot for our children, wouldn't we? I mean, so I guess today I was just wanting to encourage all mothers in here the importance and to thank you for what you do for your children. I know every day, you know, I mean, I have kids. Some days aren't easy, but it's so worth it. They're so worth fighting for, and they're so worth investing into. And even their prophetic words and who they are and how God sees them is so valuable and important for them that we've instilled in them. I think, and I know you guys probably have heard this scripture, but I wanted to read it to you today in a different text because, sorry. She's busy. I had it. Okay. So Proverbs, I know you guys all know about the Proverbs 31 woman, but in this different text, I liked it better, and I just wanted to encourage, because this is how women are. This is how God sees women. Who could ever find a wife like this one? She's a woman of strength and mighty in valor. Women, we are of strength. We are of mighty valor. We are mighty women. You are mighty mothers. You fight for your children. You do whatever you need to do. She's full of wealth and wisdom. There's many women in here. You all are full of wisdom. The price paid for her was greater than many jewels. Her husband has entrusted his heart to her, for she brings him the rich spoils of victory. All throughout her life, she brings him what is good and not evil. She searches out continually to possess that which is pure and righteous. She delights in the work of her hands. She gives out revelation, truth to feed others. We do a lot for others. She's like trading a ship, bringing divine supplies from the merchant. Even in the night season, she arises and sets food on the table for hungry ones in her house for others. She sets her heart upon a nation and takes it as her own, carrying it within her. She labors there to plant the living vines. She wraps herself in strength, might, and power in all her works. She tastes and experiences a better substance, and her shining light will not be extinguished. No matter how dark the night, she stretches out her hands to help the needy, and she lays hold of the wheels of government. She is known by her extravagant and generosity to the poor, for she always reaches out her hands to those in need. She's not afraid of tribulation, for all her household is covered in the dual garments of righteousness and grace. Her clothing is beautifully knit together, a purple gown of distinguished linen. Her husband is famous and admired by all, sitting as the venerable judge of his people. Even her works of righteousness she does for the benefit of her enemies. Bold power and glorious majesty are wrapped around her. Women, you are bold. You are powerful. You are glorious. You are radiant. As she laughs with joy over her latter days, her teachings are filled with wisdom and kindness as loving instruction pours from her lips. She watches over the ways of her household and meets every need they have. Her sons and daughters arise in one accord to exalt her virtues, and her husband arises to speak of her glowing terms. There are many valiant and noble ones, but you have ascended above them all. Charm can be misleading, and beauty is vain, so quickly fades, but the virtuous woman lives the wonder, awe, and fear of the Lord. She will be praised throughout eternity. You will be praised, women, through eternity for the motherhood and the things that you've done here on earth, because you have trained and raised up your children. There's something so valuable about that in eternity. So go ahead and give her the credit that is due, and all her loving works of righteousness deserves to be admired at the gateways of every city. So I just want to encourage all you women today, how valuable and precious you are. These children, what better job than to train and raise up these kids to be mighty warriors and mighty valid men and women of God. They're already doing it out there. They know who they are. You guys have done a great job in raising your kids and training them up. And I just want to bless you women today.
Wow. Thank you, Jen. That's a hard act to follow. Hallelujah. But today is a special day, and we want to honor the women of Community Church International. That's what we want to do this morning. And this morning I'd like to call the founding mothers up. Mary, will you come? Sandy, will you come? These two women have laid it on the line for all of us of Community Church. They took the time. They gave up their homes. They stood beside their husbands and started this work. And so these two women are to be honored in community church. All right.
Stay here.
Hallelujah. And it's great that they're sisters because they can they probably talk to each other and encouraged each other in the process. Deb Moran is not with us this morning. She's with her husband. And that's what's supposed to happen. But I'd like the other two elders' wives to come. Babe, will you come? And Jen, will you come?
Jenny?
Would you go stand on the other side?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
On the other side of Mary.
Yeah, on the other side of Mary. All right. These four women plus Deb Moran are the elders. And the elders' wives, and we praise God for the women of Community Church because they're strong, they're courageous, and they encourage us and they pray for us. That's what these women do. They pray for us individually. They pray for the congregation. Deb Moran, who's missing, is the leading intercessor for Community Church. And so this morning, we just say thank you. Thank you, women, for everything that you've done. Now, what I'd like, Webster, will you come up here? Okay, now I want you to hold this, and now mothers in the crowd, mothers, Jen, all of the mothers, I want to come up here, and I want you to take two roses, okay? So mothers, come up here, and then I want you to stand with these women. Mothers, come on, come on, come on, don't be shy. Tirza, come on, Joan. Two. Okay, stand with the other women, please. The women, I want Griselda, come on. Okay. Okay, the women of Community Church. And now, girls, come on. Each one of you, I want you to come up and take one rose, okay? So all of the girls, come on, come on, come on, come on, girls, come on. There you go. Each girl, and stand with the other women. Okay? Okay, go stand with the other women, will ya? Come on. There. All right. All right. Now, isn't that an awesome crew, guys? Let's give them a hand. This morning, I thank God for every single woman and girl that's standing in the front this morning. because you are what encourages us as men to go forward. It's you that's standing alongside of us, encouraging us to be all that we can be. You know, what an awesome picture. An awesome picture this morning. So I would just like to pray for the women of Community Church as a whole. Father God, right now as an elder of Community Church, I want to bless each one of these women this morning of Community Church. Father, we thank you for their dedication. Father, we thank you for them laying down their lives for their children and for their husbands, for their sons, Father. And Father, we give you praise and honor and glory this morning for who you are, that each one of these women is unique and special. And so, Father, we give you praise and honor and glory for them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, women. And so this morning, I think I get the opportunity to dismiss us. And so you are dismissed. Have a happy Mother's Day. Husbands, treat your wives right today. Take them out to dinner. Do something special for them. Okay? That's your jobs today. Right, Chad? Is he? Well...